This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فإذا فضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم فإذا قضيتم مناسككم فاذكروا الله كذكركم آباءكم أو أشد ذكرا صدق الله العلي العظيم. In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful, all praise is due to our Creator, our Cherisher, our Nourisher and our Sustainer. We bear witness there's none worthy of worship but Allah. We bear witness we believe in all the prophets who came throughout history. And we bear witness that Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa ashabihi wa sallam, is the final of all the emissaries of Allah. Respected ulama and a'immah, hufaz, qurra, elders, brothers and sisters, respected youth, I greet you with the Islamic universal greeting of peace. May the peace, the mercy, and the blessings of Allah be upon each and everyone present here on this auspicious day of Jum'ah, at this hour of Jum'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. By the grace of Allah, we are in the first 10 days of the last month of the Islamic lunar calendar. We are in the month of Dhul-Hijjah. And just as the last 10 nights of Ramadan are considered the most revered nights of the year, so too these 10 days and nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah are considered among the most revered and the most hallowed days of the Islamic calendar. In fact, it is mentioned and referred to as special days and nights in the Holy Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر. By the break of day, by the 10 nights, and by the even in the odd contrasted, and by the night as it runs its course, is there not in all of these an adjuration and evidence for those who reflect and understand? And regarding these 10 days, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in a hadith documented in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من أيام أعظم عند الله ولا أحب إليه من العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر فأكثروا فيهن من التهليل والتكبير والتحميد أو كما قال. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are no days grander in the estimation of Allah or more loved in which to do good deeds than these 10 days. So increase therein the remembrance of Allah through your takbir and through your tahmid and through your tahleel, la ilaha illallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah. In fact, it was the practice of some of the companions of Rasulullah to read the takbir which we read on Eid. They read it throughout the 10 days. Though we read it more from the morning of the 9th of Zulhijjah, the day before the Eid, we read it, most of us read it in the masjid and so on, but the people used to read individually, used to read the takbir for the entire 10 days. Some of the companions had that practice. But the actual Hajj itself also commences within the period of these 10 days of Zulhijjah. And though Hajj is constituted of manasik or of rituals, these are rituals that are remarkable symbolism regarding the places where the Hajj is performed, regarding the clothes that are worn, and regarding the deeds that are done in Ihram, that are done where it is done and for the purpose of Hajj as manasik, as rituals. And each aspect of the pilgrimage, we need to realize, serves as religious and symbolic acts, as historic and social lessons, that has both practical and a spiritual dimension. And therefore, when we look at some of the key symbolism of the Hajj, some of the key places where these rituals are performed, we look at the Ihram. The Ihram is a symbol of humility and of equality. And it is the closest that we come to the two pieces of cloth we wear when we are buried. The symbolism of humility, where you remove all name branding, any form of arrogance, because sometimes clothes do make it the man, but you remove all that makes you different from others. And therefore, it is symbolism or a symbol of equality and humility. You go and perform some of the deeds at the Haram al-Sharif in Mecca, which is the blessed city of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the city of Ismail, of Hajar, and eventually of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the city of revelation, the city of the Kaaba. That Kaaba, which is also the direction of our prayer, the sanctified symbol of unity, a place established, جَعَلَ الْكَعْبَةُ الْبَيْتُ الْحَرَامُ قِيَامًا لِلنَّاسِ, that is meant to be for the upliftment, for the uprising of humanity. We look at the Arafah. Arafah itself, a barren plain of no people. And it becomes a United Nations for one day on the 9th of Zulhijjah. And people from all over the world come at that particular time and spend one day there. And on that one day, there is a manifestation of unity, a manifestation of internationality, where people who come from all over the world are present on the plains of Arafah. And also that Arafah is a reflection of the day of judgment, of the day of Qiyamah. But it's also a day of fraternity, a day of brotherhood and sisterhood, where international Muslims gather as one ummah at one place, but at the same time, short period, between the sun reaching its zenith and before the sun sets. Everyone has to be there between that time, otherwise you don't have the Hajj. If you are there in the morning for Fajr, or you come after Maghrib, you've missed it. And if you miss the Arafah, you've missed the Hajj. Because Al-Hajj, Arafah, Hajj, the D-Day of Hajj is Arafah. Anything else, you can somewhat compensate for. If you miss the Arafah, you've missed the Hajj. And what do you do on Arafah? It's a barren plain. There's no Kaaba. But you're stripped of all forms of arrogance, of individuality, and you are in the ocean of humanity, of brotherhood and sisterhood. And there you are asking forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then you had Muzdalifah in the evening, preparation in the darkness of the night, preparation for the struggle against internal and external enemies, and symbolically the throwing of stones, in other words, distancing ourselves from injustice, from wrongfulness, from corruption, from oppression. And therefore, when you look at some of these manasik, though they are manasik, they are symbols, reenactments of something that were done by the Rasul or by Ibrahim or by Hajar in the case of the Sa'i. But each one of them still relevant for us today. Each one still reminds us when the kids pick up the stone in Palestine and fight the enemy, is symbolism of the throwing of the stone of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So the Jamarat is symbolic battle against evil and injustice. The stone wall that you throw there is not shaitan in itself. It's merely symbolic of the shaitan, that when you see it, you are at war with it. Jamarat at Mina. Then the udhiyah, sacrifice, indicating selfless submission to Allah's command. Though Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded, it didn't really take place. Allah didn't allow it to go through. But just to see, are you willing to give up that which you sacrifice the most? Very often, politically, religiously, even religiously, we do things for our own purpose, for our own gain, for our own interest. Can you imagine Allah asking you to sacrifice the one thing? Ibrahim alayhi salam had a child, Ismail, in his old age, very old age. So can you imagine that one thing which you wanted all your life, Allah says, now sacrifice it. It can be a position, it can be a title, it can be wealth. What is the one thing that you most love? And if Allah were to ask you, sacrifice that for me, let's see if you do it. Would you think twice or would you even consider it? Ibrahim did not. Ismail did not. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. We tested Ibrahim with a trial and he passed it with excellence. And we are the progeny of Ibrahim. That is the Ibrahim who announced the Hajj. The one who was prepared to sacrifice his son. So, then one of the aspects, of course, is the Sa'i, the running between Safa and Marwa. And that is a reenactment of Hajar, Sayyidah Hajar's search for water, from which eventually the well of Zamzam came forth when Ismail, alayhi salam, kicked into the ground, according to some reports, and Allah granted the water to come from there. And still today we drink from that water of Zamzam. That was to nourish a baby at a place where there was no plants and no water. And the Baitul Muharram, the place where there was nothing growing, no vegetation. Yet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided them that water. And Ibrahim, Ismail alayhi salam, the forefather of the Rasul, was nourished by that water. And we can see from that running of Hajar, she didn't sit back and wait that Allah must do something. She ran in search of water. And not only for herself. She ran out of concern about her child. Focusing not only on her well-being, but on the well-being of the next generation. And Ismail alayhi salam was that child. He was the next generation. He was the forefather of the Rasul whom we are following here till today. So the actual manasik and the rituals of Hajj commences in this period of Dhul-Hijjah. And if we contextualize the Hajj, we realize the tremendous status of that Hajj, that pilgrimage. As an act, it is farad. It's obligatory on those who are able. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حَجُّ الْبَيْتِ مَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ سَبِيلًا. Obligatory on those who are able to do so. In its significance, it is a pillar of our faith. It's a rukn. Bunya al-Islamu ala khams. Shahada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah wa iqam as-salah wa ita'i zakah wa sawmi Ramadan wa hajj al-bayt. It's a pillar of our faith, which if you remove, the edifice of Islam will collapse. As compensation, it's in an atonement for past sins, for our sins, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man hajja wa lam yarfuth wa lam yafsuq, raja'aka yawmi waladatu ummu. Who performs a hajj, a duly performed hajj, without any impropriety, without any vulgarity, returns like the day his mother gave birth to him. And as a virtue, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith documented in Sahih of Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim, he said, al-hajjul mabrur, لَيْسَ لَهُ جَزَاءٌ إِلَّا الْجَنَّةِ. For a duly performed pilgrimage, there's no reward except paradise itself. So these 10 days of Zulhijjah include the grandest day of the year, of all the days. If the night is Laylul Qadr, the day will be Yawm Arafah. In other words, in grandeur, in stature. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-Hajju Arafah. Arafah is the D-Day of Hajj. Hajj is Arafah. And there where millions of people gather in the simplest of clothing, in the open air, with everywhere, everyone is considered equal. No discrimination on the basis of race or gender or age or color or social status or class. It is said to have been the place, Arafah, where Adam alayhi salam and Sayyidah Hawa reconnected on earth after the exile from heaven, and Allah knows best. But if so, then Arafah is reconnecting us with our origin. Arafah is reconnecting us with the origin of our common humanity, recognizing that humankind is one family and that the Ummah is one fraternity. We mentioned earlier that Allah refers to the 10 days of Zulhijjah in Surah Al-Fajr, the 89th chapter of the Holy Quran. And that surah in which Al-Fajr, or these 10 days, Walayalin Ashr, the way it's mentioned, was revealed at a stage in Makkah when persecution of the Muslims had begun to intensify. It's a time of difficulty and strife, as the Ummah finds itself today. When persecutions against the Muslim and the nascent Muslim community was severe. And on that very basis, the people of Makkah, who terrorized the Muslims, were warned of the dire end of the Aad and the Thamud and the people of Fir'aun. Allah reminds them in this surah, these people who forcefully entrenched themselves over other people, politically, militarily, and financially, Allah says, الَّذِينَ طَغَوْا فِي الْبِلَادِ فَأَكْثَرُوا فِيهَا الْفَسَادِ. These people, they transgressed through the lands that they were in charge, and that they manifested oppression and spread much corruption. فَصَبَّ عَلَيْهِمْ رَبُّكَ سَوْطَ عَذَابِ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَبِالْمِرْصَادِ. Allah says, Allah made them to bear the severe consequence of their wrongdoings. For after all, the one who sustains the world is ever watchful. This is proof of the fact that the system of the universe is under the domain of Al-Hakim, Allah the All-Wise, and that the effects of injustice and oppression is continuously visible in the events of human history. It's not Allah who impulsively humiliates people or a nation, but rather it's people's downfall. Their downfall comes from the consequence of the nation's action and the actions, wrong actions of people. And that's why Allah says in the same surah, Kalla, what was their style? What was their attitude? Kalla, Balla tukrimun al yateem, Wala tahadun ala ta'am al miskeen, Watakulun al turatha akla al lamma, Watuhibun al mal hubban jamma. All of these, Aad and Thamud and Fir'aun, and even our leaders of today, very often they ignore the plight of the orphans. Ignore the plight of the orphans. There are over 9,000 orphans in Palestine, 9,000 since 7th of August, 250 some odd days since it started. Failing to encourage the feeding of the poor, failing to encourage feeding of the poor. Some of the Muslim governments, they sent arms to the occupying forces. They can't send food. They sent kafan to bury the people. And that is their aid and their contribution. According to the Integrated Food Security Phase Classification, the IPC, regarding food insecurity, they said they find that 1.1 million Gazans are currently experiencing catastrophic hunger, and I quote, the highest level of food insecurity bordering on total starvation. And we are going to sacrifice many sheep. And there are people who are going to be dying in Palestine. You see, it reminds me of how lopsided we have become as an ummah, fighting among ourselves and undermining each other over secondary issues. You know, a man died. He was begging for food. And nobody gave him food. And he eventually died of hunger. So when he died, people got together, made a khatam for him in the village. And they cooked a nice sheep and they fed everybody. Couldn't they have slaughtered the sheep and saved the man from starvation? So mashallah, we got together, read zikr for him, Yasin, and very good, you know. Mashallah, we dua for him and do his qabr also. We go to the qabr when they are dead, don't visit them when they are alive. We want to feed them at the 3 days and the 40 days and the whatever we do, mashallah, may Allah bless us. But you were not there when the man was hungry. Quran says they ignore the plight of the orphans, they encourage not the feeding of the poor. They consume the rights of other people unjustly, stealing the land of others. The whole of Palestine has been stolen. It was sold out by some of the people who were connivance with the British to oppose the Ottoman Empire, the Ottoman Khalifa at that time. Sold out. Our people sold it out. And the same people are still standing with the oppressors. Same people who were in connivance with the British and the French at that time are still in connivance with them. And then the Quran is the fourth point, besides not caring about the plight of the orphans, failing to encourage the removal of starvation and alleviation of poverty, they consume the inheritance and the rights of others unjustly. And one of the signs, they have this intense love for monopoly of position and power and wealth. وَتَحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. They love that which brings them wealth and power and authority. Like many Muslim governments who are complicit in the genocide in Palestine. Those who are careless and callous, indifferent to the plight of the oppressed, selfishly self-centered and focusing on self-interest, aiding and abetting the oppressors, and perpetuating the vile culture of corruption. Their oppression-friendly attitude, their oppression-friendly stance towards the oppressors becomes an obstacle even to them receiving the forgiveness of Allah. Don't forget, those who are on Arafah, don't fast. Those who are here, it's recommended to fast. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a hadith documented in the Sahih of Imam Muslim, Rasulullah Abi Qatada reports radiyallahu an, su'ila Rasulullah an sawmi yawm Arafah. He was asked about the fasting of Arafah, and the Rasul replied, yukaffiru sana al-madhiya wal-baqiya, that if you fast, duly fast on the day of Arafah, and tomorrow the people are on the plains of Arafah, was asked about the fasting of Arafah, he said, it wipes out the sins of the year past and of the present year. And more than that, Ibn Abbas, Ibn Mirdas al-Sulami, from his father and from his father, in other words, his grandfather, related that the Messenger of Allah prayed for the forgiveness of the Ummah on the day of Arafah. And there was a response in Hadith al-Qudsi, فَأَجِيبُ أَنِّي قَدْ غَفَرْتُ لَهُمْ مَا خَلَى الظَّالِمِ فَإِنِّي أَخُذْ لِلْمَظْلُومِ مِنْهُ. He said, the response from the Divine was, I have forgiven the people, I will forgive the people, except for the oppressor, with whom I will settle the score of their oppression against the oppressed people. Allah will forgive everybody on this day, but Allah says, not the oppressor. Truly, to benefit from these days of Zulhijjah, we have to commit ourselves to the universal message that was delivered by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahabi wa sallam on Mount Arafah in that Urana Valley where people will be tomorrow near Makkah on the 9th of Zulhijjah, tomorrow 1434 years ago. When the Prophet recapped in that Khutbatul Wida', in that farewell sermon, he recapped the essential message of his mission in that farewell sermon. And there are 15 key points which he concluded by saying, have I delivered the message? Yes, we have delivered the message. He asked again, according to some reports, he asked thrice, and they said, oh Allah, bear witness that I have delivered the message. Those who are here, passing it on to those who are not here, and we are of those who are passing it on. Not only passing on the message, but perpetuating that mission. It's no use perpetuating the legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam or the Hajj. And the central message of the Hajj is encapsulated in the Khutbatul Wida', and we don't live with the principles of that Khutbatul Wida'. 15 points. Acknowledgement of the supremacy of the Creator. Tawheed. Mission of prophets who came throughout history to guide all of humanity and conveying the message of the prophets. Fulfillment of trust and importance of individual accountability. You can have a sheikh, you can have a wali, everybody, mashallah, may Allah bless everybody. Allah will hold you individually accountable. No sheikh, no wali, no responsible for you. Each one for themselves. Learn from others, benefit from others, get barakah from others. Accountability, individual accountability. Please be aware of that. وَلَا تَزِرُ وَازِرَةُ وِزْرُ أُخْرَى وَلَيْسَ الْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. You are responsible for yourself. Fulfillment of trust and the importance of individual accountability. When you give your word, you keep your word. And remember, you'll be asked individually. Sanctity of human life, of human integrity, of human property. Value human life, human dignity, irrespective whether it be the life of integrity or property of a Muslim or non-Muslim. Fulfillment of your obligations. When you give your word, you keep your word. Avoiding improper financial dealings. Is only 1 point. Each of this can be a khutbah or two. Now this is what the Rasul left. So when we celebrate the Eid, it's part of what he said at Arafah. It's part of our commitment. When we sacrifice, what are we sacrificing? A sheep? It's not the flesh or the blood of the animal that reaches Allah. It's the taqwa that reaches Allah. You can slaughter 40 sheep. MashaAllah, may Allah bless you. That doesn't reach Allah at all. No sheep reaches Allah. No blood reaches Allah. لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهَ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. So, avoiding of improper financial dealings. The importance of maintaining marital harmony. Shunning all forms of evil and corruption. Acknowledging the fraternity of human as a global of the ummah as a global community of faith. The eradication of racial prejudice and of acknowledging the equality of humanity as one family. The imperative of obeying Allah and His Messenger and those who perpetuate the mission of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, keeping up and maintaining the pillars of Islam, acknowledging the rights of workers, acknowledging the finality of prophethood, and the duty of conveying and implementing the message. So the prophetic farewell sermon was one of a universal message to all people, yet it speaks to the core of the individual's humanity, transcending racial, cultural, ethnic, and social barriers. Essentially, at the heart of this final message on the day of Arafah was a prophetic guideline, on how to be of the Abrar, how to be of the righteous human beings, how to be of those whom Allah loves. Let us in these 10 days, these special days of Dhul-Hijjah, prioritize our lives in such a way and enhance our consciousness to such an extent that we too commit to be of the Abrar, to be of the truly righteous. Those with good intentions, because innama al-a'malu binniyat, actions don't count at all, except by the intentions. Those with good intentions, with a positive attitude, with untainted compassion, engaging in principled actions, promoting just causes, demonstrating selfless commitment, displaying unwavering determination, and of course, demonstrating righteous behavior. Allah says in the Quran, for such people, إِنَّ الْأَبْرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ. Verily the Abrar, the righteous, will delight in paradise. May Allah make us to be of the Abrar, and may Allah make maqbool of all the Hujjaj who are on the plane, inshallah, the plains of Arafah tomorrow. And may Allah accept the Hajj of each and everyone who has gone to plead for His mercy and forgiveness. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. جزاك الله to Uncle Ahmed Chowan and the committee for allowing us to welcome our guests who have traveled from Turkey. We are honored to have with us the Mufti of Ankara, Mufti Mustafa, as well as Imam Nusreddin and Yahya. They've traveled from their country to share Qurbani with us here in Southern Africa. And for the past, I think, 12 years or so, Uqaf South Africa has partnered with Diyanat, their religious authority, to perform Qurbani in many African countries. They're performing in 157 countries this year. And in partnership with Okaw South Africa, we are doing Qurbani with Diyanat in Mozambique, Namibia, Lesotho, Swaziland, in Cape Town. Alhamdulillah, I think about 200 heads of cattle will be slaughtered on Monday and distributed, totaling about 60 tons of meat that inshallah will be distributed in Cape Town alone. So we thank Diyanat, and the Mufti would like to just greet the Jama. Sheikh Sadala, if you could maybe translate, you will do it in Arabic. Jazakallah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسولنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أخو المحترم نحن نذهب من التركية إن شاء الله عيد الأضحى إن شاء الله نحن معكم ونسلم سلام تحية بالأخ التركية. Bizler Türkiye Cumhuriyeti'nden, başkentinden Ankara'dan sizlere ülkemizin başta Sayın Cumhurbaşkanı Recep Tayyip Erdoğan'ın ve bütün Türkiye Müslümanlarının selamını getirdik. Allah nasip ederse bu bayram sizlerle beraber olacağız inşallah. Diyanet İşleri Başkanlığımızın organizasyonuyla inşallah burada bütün Avrupa, Afrika ülkelerinde olduğu gibi bizler de 6 kişilik bir ekiple beraber inşallah bu bayramda yaklaşık 500 civarında kurbanı inşallah sizlerle beraber kesmiş olacağız. Bayramlar Müslümanların bir araya geldikleri, ümmeti Muhammed'in birlik, dirlik ve uhuvvet bilinci kazandıkları mübarek zaman dilimleri. O vesileyle bizler de bu mübarek günde, yani İslam'ın birlik şuurunun tesis edildiği mübarek Eidul Adha'da inşallah sizlerle beraber bu huzuru yaşayacağız. Ben bu vesileyle hepinize teşekkür ediyorum. Cumanızı tebrik ediyorum. Bayramınızı tebrik ediyorum. Allah'ın rahmeti, bereketi, mağfireti üzerinize olsun. Cumanız makbul ve mübarek olsun. Allah'a emanet olunuz. İnşallah ma'asselame ilel liqa en garibu zaman inşallah. Allahu yarda ankum inşallah. Ma'asselame.
Partly in Arabic, partly in Turkish. So I'll use some of my what I little understand about Urdu, maybe, and a part of Persian that I can maybe translate. But basically, the Sheikh said, "Salam to all who are present here," and he also read salawat on the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he mentioned that they will be here with. He's honored to be here, and he'll be with us for Eid. They have come from Turkey, and of course, he brings the greeting from people of Turkey. And will be here for the Eid as well as for the Qurban. And then he went on to, I think, explain from what I could gather that the Qurban, as Brother Mikhail mentioned, they do Qurban in southern parts of Africa and other parts of the country, of the continent. But also they are building bonds between people, as well as according to the way of the Prophet to uplift one another. And you know, may Allah bless you all. And may Allah, you know, and thank you for being for affording him the opportunity. And may Allah bless each and every one for that. And maybe we'll meet, inshallah.
Thank you.
JazakAllah khairan. We say JazakAllah khairan to Sheikh Sa'adullah, Mikael, and everyone who has contributed to the welcoming of the Turkish delegation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all. Amen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Just a few announcements, inshallah. All are welcome to listen to Professor Khalid Bayoun, professor at the College of Law at Arizona State University. That program will take place tonight, inshallah. That is this evening. Immediately after Maghrib Salah at the Zora Noor Auditorium at Islamia College. The topic will be the rise of Islamophobia globally, genocide in Palestine, and South Africa's response to that. It is free, inshallah. Everyone is welcome to come and listen to them. It will be open to the public, inshallah, this evening after Maghrib, Zora Noor Auditorium at Islamic College, the building next to the masjid, inshallah. Everyone is welcome. And also everyone is welcome tomorrow evening. That is Salatul Layl. It will take place here at the masjid, 9 o'clock tomorrow evening, inshallah. The salah and the dhikr will be led by our khufad, inshallah. Everyone is welcome. Ladies and gents are welcome to join us for the Salatul Layl program. That will take place tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. inshallah. Our Eid program, inshallah, we encourage each and everyone to come for Salatul Fajr. Remain in the masjid. There will be no parking in front of the masjid. As usual, it will be closed. The upstairs will be allocated for the ladies. The school quad will also be open for the overflow of the men, inshallah. And a special collection will take place on Eid for the upkeeping of the masjid. And we humbly request the Jama'ah and the community to generously donate towards the upkeeping of the masjid, inshallah. We'll start, inshallah, with the takbir at 20 past 6 and up to about 7 o'clock. Thereafter, the lecture will start by Sheikh Muhammad Murad about 20 past 7 up to about 5 past 8. And the salah and the khutbah will commence at about 10 past 8, inshallah. We should be done by about 8:30, inshallah. So please be punctual, and inshallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all the a'mal that's been done during these 10 days of the Hajjah, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the intention of each and everyone who made the intention for the qurbaniya. Allah accept, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan. Can we just ask the brothers to stand, min fadlik? There are quite a few spaces in between. They are upstairs. I see the upstairs is still empty for those people who are standing at the back. The upstairs for the men are empty. They can move upstairs, inshallah. The men, you can just move to your right as you're standing facing me. To your right, there's a stairs to your right, inshallah, to go upstairs, inshallah. Jazakumullah khairan.
أشهد أن محمدا
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا كما أمر وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فإذا أفضتم من عرفات فاذكروا الله عند المشعر الحرام واذكروه كما هداكم وإن كنتم من قبله لمن الضالين ثم أفيضوا من حيث أفاض الناس واستغفروا الله واستغفروا الله إن الله غفور رحيم وقال الله تعالى والفجر وليال العشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر هل في ذلك قسم لذي حجر صدق الله العلي العظيم وقال النبي حبيبنا المصطفى صلوات الله وسلامه عليه وعلى أهل بيته وأصحابه ما من أيام أعظم عند الله ولا أحب إليه العمل فيهن من هذه الأيام العشر فأكثروا فيهن من التسبيح والتحميد والتكبير والتهليل أو كما قال صدقت يا رسول الله أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الله أكبر الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهدي ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد عبده ورسوله قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي يا أيها النبي إنا أرسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا فقال الله تعالى مخبرا وآمرا قولا كريما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآل محمد وصحبه وبارك وسلم اللهم اجعل الحجاج حجهم مبرورا وسعيهم مشكورا وذنوبهم ذنوبا مغفورا وأعمالهم صالحا مقبولا وارجعوهم بالصحة والسلامة والعافية غانمين منفرحين مستبشرين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم انصر إخوان المجاهدين والمظلومين والمستضعفين في كل مكان خاصة في فلسطين. ربي يسر ولا تعسر، فأنت الميسر يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم اغفر لجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، ارفع لهم الدرجات وكفر عنهم السيئات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة. صلى الله عليه وسلم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة، قام الله مدام سبحانه وتعالى. الله أكبر، الله أكبر، لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله، صلى الله عليه وسلم، يرحمكم الله، صلى الله عليه وسلم. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر، إن شانئك هو الأبتر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم استغفر الله العظيم التواب الرحيم الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم نتوب إليك ونسألك التوبة والمغفرة والهداية لنا فإنك أنت التواب الرحيم سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم اشف مرضانا أنت شافي لا شفاء إلا شفاؤك شفاء لا يغادر سقما وارحم موتانا اللهم اغفر لحينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وأنثانا اللهم طهر قلوبنا وأفكارنا وأقوالنا وأعمالنا من الرياء والفساد والنفاق وسوء الأخلاق اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تباركت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير وصلى الله تعالى على سيدنا محمد النبي الأمي نبي الرحمة نبي الهدى وعلى أهل بيته وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.